you understand why Paul, when he writes the Galatians, why does he separate out in some of those contexts we went through? He separates out the Jews. He wants them to know that this new household rule is for them as well in Christ. And so I have a hunch just from reading some of the things that Paul said in Romans. Paul had a tough time coming to the understanding and the realization that God was hitting the pause button on plans for Israel. We can go back into Acts 15, and they knew, and they know, that God's going to fulfill all of his promises to Israel. They were expecting it to be soon. You could see the disciples, their response to Christ before his final ascension. That was the thing that was on their mind. This, you know, the idea of being part of the new creation and the new creation being a part of the rule for life, the standard for life, for present tense salvation, that's something that was on their mind. Now, that's going to be important. The reason why I'm doing this is we're going to look at a verse today that says in Galatians 6, he says, in verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace is on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And so a lot of people want to come in here without understanding the context of the transition, the first century, what Paul is addressing in this epistle. And they want to say, oh, see, the church has become Israel. And that's not the case. It just takes a little bit of putting some of these things together, and it's not that difficult to see. It's interesting, some of these verses that are sometimes so-called difficult to understand if we just stay in the context. It seems pretty obvious. And so this relates to what God's doing. God was saving at this time in the transition. He's saving some out of Israel and out from law. And the church primarily began as a largely Jewish, Jews made up the majority of the body. And then over time that began to change. You have less and less Jews and more Gentiles. And as we get to Romans, really, you begin to see that God has a plan, and his plan is going to include putting a pause on some of the things for Israel. And I believe that is something that really troubled Paul. Paul, he had a lot of love for his heritage, for Israel, for that race. And so I'm going to go back. I'm just going to hit some highlights in Romans, and then we're going to come back in and look at these verses. But let me go ahead and open with a word of prayer before I forget to do that. Father, we do thank you for the day, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to relate to your word and to be around one another. And we just pray your spirit would continue to guide and direct, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so let's just go back to Romans real quick. Now, I mentioned I believe Romans and the Galatians were written within the same calendar year, probably within 9 months of each other, maybe even less if we...
What did you say that was? It's just 58?
58, approximately 58. And so there's a number of ways we can figure this out. I didn't go ahead and prepare to do how you can figure out all of these dates. There's a number of epistles in the New Testament that we have a stronger certainty of when they were dated, and then you have others that were less so. But you can go into Well, I'm not going to try to do it off the top of my head.
That's
but you can start off, you can go into, I want to say 2 Corinthians, is it chapter 10, where he says 14 years ago. And so if you connect that back to Acts 14, you can start to put some of these things together. That actually might be a fun little project to do on the dating of things. Let's go into Romans. And so, you know, Romans was written, I think, if I remember right, I would say from Corinth before he's going to start on his trip back to Jerusalem. And so when he writes Galatians, he's all the way over in Troas, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. And so in Romans, though, you can see here, Paul he begins to reveal some things that tell us about God's plans for Israel. And you can see that Paul, this is something that grieves Paul. It troubles Paul. And so let's just pick up in Romans in chapter 9, for instance. Let's just read, I'm just going to skip through some of these just to touch on some of the highlights, but you can see here in 9:1, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness by the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness, the idea of grief, and continual pain in my heart. For I could vow, the word wish here would be vow, but I could vow that myself were accursed or cut off from the Christ. It is a particular there. For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaining the sun placement and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and of the promises. And so let me just go ahead and let's go to chapter 10. Just real quick, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and not to a full experiential knowledge. For they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Let's just pick up verse 4, because that relates to our context in Galatians. It says, for Christ is an end of law for righteousness to everyone believing. And so that's going to include both Jew and Gentile. That's not something that was agreed upon right from the get-go. You can see that in Acts 15. They weren't going to trouble the Gentiles, but with a few recommendations. But when we get to Acts 21, you can see there that many of the Jews, believing Jews that were part of the church, were still trying to practice the law. Dave's he's in Hebrews. You have the same trouble going on now. It depends on when we date Hebrews, but I would say Hebrews roughly is somewhere in the late 60s. We'll say 67. The author's Paul, so you can see. You got some of the same issues going on that Paul's dealing with as he's writing to the Galatians here in 58. Let's go to Romans 11:1. I say then, has God cast away his people? May it never be. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And so you can see Paul was an example that Paul had not cast away, that God had not cast away his people. You can see as we get to Romans 11:5, that God's doing something. He says, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant. Now I kind of skipped that just for time's sake, but here's, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more out from works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be out from works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. He says, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded or hardened is the idea. Let me just skip on over to verse 22. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the kindness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee, kindness. If thou continue in his kindness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And so he's talking about Israel and Gentiles. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. And so Israel is no longer in the place of blessing right now. For God is able to graft them in again. Let me just skip down verse 25. He says, for I desire not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. And so the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That was something in Acts 15. They were thinking this is just a short little time period. They were expecting that to be done in their lifetime, and that Israel was going to be grafted into back into a place of blessing, that God's going to be fulfilling those promises. We know that's not the case. The pause is a little longer, maybe than they were thinking in the first century. But it is a pause, and God will fulfill all of the promises to Israel. It says in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And so that's still yet future for Israel. So one of the things Paul is demonstrating in Galatians is it's the same house rule. It's the same house rule for Jew and Gentiles, because we're all one in Christ. We're part of the new creation, the new entity. This is part of the pause, if you will, for Israel. And so in Galatians chapter 3, let me just pick up in verse 28. In him is neither Jew nor Greek. Okay? So in him, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That distinction is gone. Prior to the dispensation of grace, prior to the new creation, that was an important distinction. In the world system, race is still an important distinction. There is neither bond nor free. So in Christ, there's not a distinction or a difference in social class, but there was in the world system prior to our salvation, that there is an important distinction there. There is neither male nor female. And then you have the explanation, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul, in chapter 5, let me just pick up in 5:1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Talking about a bondage to law. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Talking about if you'll be circumcised as trying to keep law for present tense salvation, Christ is not going to profit you anything in present tense salvation. Because you're going to be living out from the flesh. You're not going to be living by grace. You're not going to be living based upon the provisions of the cross work for present tense salvation. In Galatians 5:11, Paul said, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. In verse 12, you can see here, Paul, he uses a little sarcasm. And in the verse we're going to look at today, I think he uses a little sarcasm. He says, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. And so a little play there on that they were cut off. They've been talking about circumcision. Paul's saying, I wish they were cut off. He says, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but through agape love, serve one another. And so the only way they are going to be able to do that is by consistently, or to do that consistently is by living in their position in Christ, so that they can be free from serving the flesh and be filled by the Spirit, and be able to then direct that agape love and that self-sacrificial love to serve others as a slave. And so in Galatians 6:13, this is where we were last week. It says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep law or guard the law or law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they should boast in your flesh. And so that's what law, living by law principle does, is it's going to encourage you to do things in the strength of the flesh. And then they could boast in that, these ones that are, these Judaizers, as I call them here. And Paul goes on in verse 14, but may it never be that I should boast, except in the cross, the idea of cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so there's separation from the wisdom of the world and the world system standards in Christ. There's a new standard by which we need to march to. And it's not the wisdom of the world. It's not the rudiments, the elementary rudiments of the world system. It's not by a law principle. And so then in verse 15, he explains, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision is of any strength nor uncircumcision, but rather a new creation. And so for the Christian life, for present tense salvation, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision, but the new creation is of strength. That has strength then for present tense salvation. That has strength for our Christian lives. And so that becomes then a standard for us as Christians, whether one was a Jew or a Gentile. And so that's kind of hopefully gives just a little bit of context and some things to keep in mind as you're going through this epistle. I think it's kind of helpful to have some ideas of when things were written and what's going on at the time. And so Paul in verse 16 now, and we're going to look at 16 and 17. But what he's saying is the new creation is of strength for the Christian life, for present tense salvation. You know, not the standards that would be set by men. That's not going to be of any strength for the Christian life. Not the flesh, the flesh, for the Christian life, the flesh isn't going to be of any strength. The flesh is going to be stimulated by law principles. And so the flesh is of no strength in the Christian life. Not the standards of the world system. The world system has changing standards, and it's going to tell you that you're okay if you're doing this and you're okay if you're not doing that. But that's always changing in the world system. Those standards aren't of any strength for your Christian life. And so those types of things, law, rules, those aren't strength in for present tense salvation. You could come to church every Sunday. You could pay tithing. You could pray twice a week. You could try and do something good for others every other day. But if you're doing those by the flesh, that's not living in the provisions of grace. That's not tied to your position in Christ. And so the standard that we keep in step by is we have to keep in step by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. That needs to govern the aspects of our life. And so you can imagine the challenges that are facing Paul here as it's becoming clearer and clearer to him. See, he was fine in Acts 15 of just going forward with the letter from the Jerusalem Council to not put any expectations on the Gentiles, but these few things. But he even asked a lot of questions. We don't have a lot of information about what about the Jews there. But I can see from Acts 21 that they were going a different direction. Now Paul is being borne along by the Holy Spirit to write Romans and Galatians, and it's going to tell, guess what? We got the same house rule for the Jews. They're a little bit behind where they need to be. If they're a part of the household, a part of the church. And so as he writes Romans and Galatians, it becomes crystal clear. And then you get to the prison epistles, and you really start to see how the new creation is of strength for the Christian life. And so Paul says in Galatians 6:16, he says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace is on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. So let's just take this first clause. He says, as many as walk according to this rule. First, we have most manuscripts, or many manuscripts, there's some that don't agree, but most manuscripts, I would say manuscripts on both sides of what we call the Byzantine and the critical support here. The word for walk, it's not walk, but it's our step term, step, to step in a line. And now where the textual problem isn't whether it's that word or not, it's whether it's a future or a present. And so a lot of the manuscripts support that it's a future. And so as many as will walk, and I do see the New American Standard made that adjustment there, but it's will step according to this rule. And so the word step here, it's to walk orderly, to keep in step, to step in line, to proceed in a row, or to proceed in order. Okay? And so this is more defined than our word peripateo, to walk about, to go about. This is to walk in line, to step in line. If you think of a marching band, they practice a lot in stepping in line, marching in line. And it becomes noticeable if you're watching the whole group. It becomes noticeable if you have a couple of guys in the tuba section that are not in step, right? Doesn't look good. they have an excuse because those tubas are big and bulky, but you want everybody to be walking in step, stepping in row, stepping in line. This is the same word that Paul used, by the way, and so he's kind of coming around, he's bringing this and he's tying this to the thought that he had earlier after he had given the fruit from the Spirit and the aspects of it. In 5:25, Paul used this word. He says, "For since we live by the Spirit, let us also step by the Spirit." The idea is to keep in step by the Spirit. That's how, as Christians, how we're going to keep in step. We're going to proceed in an orderly way in our Christian life. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be by the standards of men or the wisdom of the world. It's got to be by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we're going to keep in step in our Christian life. And so Paul, he's talking about as many as walk according to this rule. What rule is he talking about? Well, let me first just comment on this word rule. This rule literally means, it means a measuring rod. A measuring rod or rule. You know, a cubit was about a foot and a half. You would have a measuring rod that was one cubit. That became a measuring device. And so he's saying here is, for as many as will step, keep in step according to this standard, this rule. This has the idea and meaning of a rule or a standard. Peace is on them. And so the rule that's in the context is the previous, is in the previous verse. The standard is that neither circumcision or uncircumcision is of any strength. But rather, the new creation is. That's the standard. That's the measuring rod, if you will. And so as many as will keep in step according to that rule, to that standard, peace is on them. Peace, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. Now, it's hard for me to gauge how long all of this will take me, and so I'm deciding whether to go after some examples and possibly go significantly over my time, or I think you understand step, though. Step. He says, as many as step according to this standard. I'll go to one place where we have the verb stoicheo, to step in line, step in a row. And this other word that's translated rule here in the King James, let me look and see what the New American Standard says there. Rule. And so they translate it rule also. I have another verse that has both of those words in the same verse. And so let's go there, and I'm going to bypass some of my other examples for time's sake. But let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And our verse is 16. We have both of these words that are used in Galatians 6:16. We have both of those words used in Philippians 3:16. Now I'm going to back up to 3:14 for context. Says I here Paul says, I press towards a mark. And so he follows, or he pursues, is the idea, a mark for the prize. And so what is he pursuing? It's the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so there Paul's looking at what he's pursuing, what he's pressing towards in his Christian life. Now he goes on in verse 15, and he says, let us therefore, as many be mature. King James says perfect, it's our word for mature. Paul has said that he's relatively mature, but there's room for more maturing. He hasn't arrived. And he says, let us therefore, as many as be mature, Now, Paul is relatively mature, and we are all mature ones in Christ. We're all mature sons in Christ. But as we learn to put that into practice, we grow, we mature in the Christian life. Paul's expectations is that all Christians can and should be mature. And he says, let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. And it's our word for reflectively minded. And if anything you be otherwise reflectively minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, in verse 16, whereto we have already attained, let us, and the King James says walk, it's our word to step. Let us step, or let us keep in step by the same rule. There's our word rule. So you have our word that we would translate step, and then our word for rule or standard. Let us keep in step by the same standard. Let us mind or reflectively think the same thing. He goes on, brethren, be imitators of me and mark them which walk so as you have us as an example. So we're all going to do it the same way. we're going to have to set our reflective thinking on things above related to our position in Christ and pursue that mark, the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 18, he says, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies of the cross work of Christ. Now, I think why he says that and who he has in mind in this context, I think he's talking about unsaved Jews, Judaizers. Go back and look at how he started the chapter here, and let's go back to, let's look at just 3:2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Then he says in verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God by the Spirit. And I would capitalize this, by the Holy Spirit. And boast in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. And so Paul, anyway, I'll start preaching Philippians. Maybe that's what I should do next. we went there for Philippians 3:16 to demonstrate step and standard. And so Paul says, as many as will keep in step according to this rule, the standard that there's no strength in circumcision or uncircumcision in one's Christian life or present tense salvation, but there is strength in the new creation, the Christ, in other words. And we would have looked at that last week. He says, peace is on them. Peace is on them. And so peace, an aspect of the fruit, we saw that in Galatians 5:22. Starts off, love, joy, peace. He also made reference to peace when he opened the epistle in Galatians 1:3 and a familiar intro. He says, grace is unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as many as will keep in step according to the standard, Paul says, peace is on them and mercy. And mercy. And so mercy is God's compassion upon those suffering as a result of sin, of the quality of sin or sin in their lives. So for us, you know, mercy is always needed. Mercy is always needed because we have these fallen bodies. We still have a sin nature. So we still sin And, you know, mercy was something that was needed at initial salvation. Let's go over to Titus 3:5. Not out from works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing or renewedness from the Holy Spirit, whom he shed upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so I say not which, but through or whom. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. So start verse 6, whom? Going back to the Holy Spirit. Whom he shed on us, God shed on us the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let me take you back over to Romans, if we could. In Romans chapter 9, so, you know, when you think of Romans 9, 10, and 11, wow, what an important section of scripture at the time it was written. Really begins to identify some things as far as Israel and the plan of God. And you can see, you start fitting that together with, you know, where a lot of the believing Jews were. Romans begins to really set some things straight. But over in Romans chapter 9, let's look at verses 15 and 16. It says, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is no more out from him that willeth," the King James says, "that is desiring, nor him that is running, but rather it is out from God that shows mercy." So it's, but rather the one, but of God that shows mercy. And so here you can see that God has freedom. God has freedom, and in his plan, the pause button, I'm sure I'm going to hear about that on the way home, but in God's plan, he pushed the pause button for Israel, and is showing mercy now in reference to the Gentiles, and so he says, "in mercy." And so peace is upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And you could even just translate "even upon the Israel of God." Now, he's not saying that the church has become Israel. What he's saying is some Jews are being saved at this time out from Judaism. They're still practicing the law. The temple wasn't destroyed for another approximately 12 years when Paul wrote this. And so, but you did have a remnant of Jews who were being saved out from Judaism and out from law. And so that was only happening during the transition. After the destruction of the temple, they couldn't really practice the law as it was given as a standard by God. And so that wasn't an option. And let me go back. In Romans chapter 9, let's go back to 9:6. In Romans 9:6, "not as though the word of God has taken an effect, for they are not all Israel which are out from Israel." And so just because somebody has the lineage doesn't mean they're out from Israel. It says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. You see, are they all born one? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the born ones or children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And so God was having compassion. He was Israel continues to have a place in the plan of God. The present time that's being shown, as there are some Jews, probably not a ton, but there are some Jews even in this time that are being saved by grace, by grace. And so when he says peace is upon them and mercy and even upon the Israel of God. And so let's go back. And so this helps to understand that in Galatians, Paul has separated out the Jews from the Gentiles a number of times in the things he's addressing. And so let's just take a look at a couple of places in Galatians where he does that. And so in Galatians chapter 3, let me pick up in verse 22. But the scripture has concluded or confined all under sin, that the promise out from faith concerning Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. And so here the we that Paul's talking about are Jews. The Jews are the ones who were under the law. He says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. He says in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And so it was the schoolmaster for the Jews, for Israel. It was the schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified out from faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That's specifically there. He's separated out the Jews for that understanding. And so you can see again, let's go down to chapter 4. In verse 3, the we here, I believe that Paul's talking in reference to the Jews. It says, even so we, when we were infants, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, come to be out from a woman, come to be under the law, to redeem them that were under the law or law, that we might receive some son placement or placement as sons. And so here, Paul, the reason he's doing this is he's showing that the law is not for house rule, not just for the Gentile, but for the Jew also. That the new creation is now what's of strength. And so for the Jew at that time, that was terribly, terribly difficult to understand. Let's go back to Acts 21. And I'm just going to show you here. This is interesting because I think Paul, these things that coming to the realization that God was putting Israel on pause, that was hard for Paul. Now, when we get into Acts 21, we're talking about after he wrote Romans and Galatians. And so, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times when you learn something factually, it takes a little while for that factual knowledge to become experiential, right? So we all have to learn that way. Dale's been talking about, he's been going it over in Sunday school about oida knowledge, which is basically factual knowledge. So we have to have some oida knowledge in order to be able to gain experiential knowledge. But it doesn't happen the other way. And so in Acts 21, now down in verse 24, the word that we had as many as step, keep in step, that we had in our Galatians 6:16 passage, and we also had it in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step by the Spirit. You're going to see that word used by James in Acts 21:24, but he's using it of keeping in step by guarding the law. And so let's just back up to Acts 21:21. Paul arrives in Jerusalem, and I may back up to verse 20 actually. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealots of the law. Okay? So right here, if they're of the household of the church, but they're zealots of the law, we have a problem with what house rule they're following. And then here we see, and James here says, and they are informed of thee, Paul, that you teachest the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. The word forsake just literally means to stand away from Moses. And that's what he was born along to write. That's what he was teaching. Saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. And so that word for walk is our peripateo, to go about, to walk about, after the customs of the Jews. He says, James here says, what is it therefore? To Paul. We finally got you. We're face to face. We're hearing all of these rumors. And what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. And so here we can see Paul has taken an Old Testament vow. And Paul here is, you might say, based upon scripture, that he's not keeping in step at this particular juncture in time by the Holy Spirit. I think some of the things that are going on with Israel are troubling Paul. I don't know if he figures that he doesn't want to offend them now. I don't know. I don't know what Paul's motivation here, but what he does doesn't line up with the things that he's been born along to write up to this point. And so he says James says, them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. But rather, and so those things were nothing about you teaching the Jews to stand away from Moses and the customs, but rather that thou thyself also, here's our word, walkest orderly. Step in line. Proceed in an orderly way. And are guarding the law. And so this is what James desires Paul to do and to demonstrate. Now, God's not going to allow Paul to go through with all of this. And he's going to get his ministry, if you will, put on pause. In verse 25, it says, touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such things. So you're going back to Acts 15. As far as the Gentiles go, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication. And so here you see where they haven't progressed. with what Paul has been born along to, and to be revealed as the steward, they had not progressed in Jerusalem from where they left off, from where things were in Acts 15. Acts 15, yep, the Gentiles were not going to put a lot of conditions on them, but the Jews, they're going to keep in step, right, and walk and guard the law. And so Paul's not going to be allowed to do that. And so it's interesting when you think about that. And the whole sequence of this happening is that's all within the same year. Paul writes Romans, Galatians, later on, early that next, well, within several months, he arrives in Jerusalem, and now here we have this, and God is going to put a halt to that. He's not allowed to go through with what he was planning on going through there. So it's interesting. And so when Paul here, he says, as many, coming back to Galatians here, he says, as many as will keep in that step according to the standard of there's no strength in circumcision or uncircumcision in present tense, but there is strength in the new creation. He says, peace is upon them and mercy and even upon the Israel of God. I think he's talking about those saved, the Jews that were being saved out of Judaism, even upon the Israel of God. What he's saying is, even upon them, it's the same standard. It's the same standard. That's where strength for living is for the Christian life. It's in the new creation. Now, that took a little longer than I anticipated. That's okay, because this next verse actually fits in with the last verse. I'm going to read it, but I'm going to save it for next time. But in Galatians 6:17, Paul says, from henceforth, or as for the rest, he says, let no man trouble me. Just cause me trouble. And this word trouble, we'll talk about it next time, but it has the idea of exhaustion. This is the same word we would translate labor or toil. So I think he's talking about mental exhaustion. Paul's wiped out by these Judaizers that are, they keep accusing Paul and attacking his message, that his message is contrary to the word of God. And so Paul says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. And then he uses an explanatory guard. He says, for I bear in my body the marks, the stigmas of the Lord Jesus. And so we'll talk about that. Paul, again, he uses a little bit of sarcasm in here. There's a little bit of sarcasm. The Judaizers were wanting circumcision. They wanted that to be the mark, right? And he says, well, I bear in my body the stigmas of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul probably had a number of scars, battle scars, if you will, or marks, from serving as a slave, the head, the Lord Jesus. And the Jews were continually having a hard time of seeing how does this fit together? Because, you know, one of the things they were trying to do, and this is where we're going to end, is in Galatians 1, 6, and 7. The Jews were trying, the Judaizers, they were trying to mix law and grace. They were trying to make it work somehow. And so in Galatians 1, 6, when Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you by the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. And so he's identifying there that they've moved into a different gospel. King James says another, but it's the word heteros, it's different. They'd moved on to a different kind, a different type of gospel than what Paul preached for present tense salvation. In verse 7, he says, which is not another. And so he uses the other Greek word, which means another of the same kind. He's saying it's not another. So this tells me that they were trying to make the two fit together somehow. law and grace. And Paul says it's not another of the same kind. It's a different gospel. It's not another. Don't get fooled into thinking that you can take law and grace and mix it together. It's not going to be another of the same kind. And he says there are some that trouble you and are desiring to pervert the gospel concerning the Christ. They were changing it into the opposite, rather than it being a strength and the thing that would be a strength for their Christian life. They were changing it into something different. That their strength, their gospel was a different gospel that was basically teaching that there was strength in the flesh, there was strength in law, there was strength in rules and standards that people would come up with. And Paul says that's a different gospel. It's not a gospel. It's not a good news of the same kind that he was preaching for present tense salvation. So I'm going to save Galatians 6:17 for the next time, and we'll end there. Let's close. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful as we relate to your word and the Holy Spirit illumines our minds to these truths that we begin to see things more and more the way you see things. And we're thankful for grace, and we're thankful that there is strength in the Christian life and our position in Christ. And then that strength is by grace. It's not based upon our self-effort or our own strength, but it's based upon the cross work of Christ. And we just pray that your Spirit would impress upon us the importance and the privilege that we have in Christ and what he's provided for us. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Sound tracker, something like a loud muffler or something. Oh, yes. Good. Yeah.